Well, good morning, everybody, and Merry Christmas. This morning, we're going to move kind of quickly through our Bible study because we've got some younger ones joining us, and we are so thankful to have our church family and friends and so on, and people from the community just come in and step in out of the cold. Today, it looks a lot more like Christmas than it has the last couple of weeks. So this is wonderful. We got a white Christmas after all. For those of you who didn't want that, you got to move. You're not in the right state. You got to move somewhere else. But we get four seasons around here, so we're thankful for it. I titled this message, we've been talking about this child throughout the study, just this child. Who is this child? What is this child? And we've been talking about that, and that's kind of been our theme throughout the Christmas season this year. But there's 13 verses that absolutely changed the whole world. And not only from when he stepped into the scene, but throughout all time and eternity. There's 13 verses, and we're going to start with the first one of them. And it's in verse 8 of Luke's account of chapter 2. And chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to read through this, and then we'll go back and kind of move through it and kind of look at it quickly. And then there's a few things that we can look at, some application toward the end of it. Now, therefore, in the beginning of verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for keeping this record in account for all time and eternity, that we can look at this, read this, and know that you stepped into our world to be the Savior of the world. And we ask that today our hearts would be open to what you would speak to us. Just these few simple truths that we can take away and put in our hearts and think on, not only throughout this week and tomorrow, but throughout the rest of our lives, that we might bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things that I noticed when I read through this, a couple of simple thoughts, and we're going to kind of look at this and try and answer them real quickly. There's three questions I had. Was what caused all the people to marvel? Why are people marveling at what was going on? They were marveling at things, and what was it that caused them to marvel? What did they hear? What was it that they heard? And what did the shepherds tell everybody? We'll kind of quickly look at those and just say, what are the answers to that? It seems that the answer in verse 17 kind of answers the first one. What caused all these people to marvel? It was simply that they had seen, this child. They had seen this child, and they were, I think, probably pretty overwhelmed with seeing this child, because it had gone exactly the way they were told that it was going to go. It exactly happened like it was planned that it would happen. And they marveled at this, and they were shocked, and they went and spread this news. What caused all the people to marvel? It was really what the shepherds had reported to them. Well, what was it that they heard? What did the shepherds hear? What did they see? What went on that ministered to them? Well, they came and they reported this divine account, as they had seen all of this that we see in these early verses from verses 8 on through verse 14. the angelic beings declaring this information, telling them what was going to happen. And they, what the shepherds heard, they went out and they reported this accurately. And so in the last part of this, I want to talk mostly this morning, what did the shepherds tell everybody? What was the information? You know, we see the, this kind of, hey, what's going to make everybody marvel? I wonder today, do you marvel at this? It doesn't matter how old or how young we are, do you marvel? I think marveling is a wonderful word. It's kind of like you look at it with excitement and wonder and kind of enthusiasm. It's kind of an exciting moment and you marvel at this, kind of look at this and kind of ponder it and think through it. What was it that the shepherds told everybody? That's the one I really want to spend the most time on. They shared this testimony. Yep, they, about this divine encounter. They talked about it. They made, they spread the word what they saw about this child, what they saw, what was told them. They spread that word. But what was it that they talked about? Verses 10 through 16 really talks about what they saw and what happened. I think the first thing that we want to note in verse 10, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be,'" and I think this is important, "'to all people.'" This is important because there obviously, it's Jesus came to a Jewish experience. You know, this is a Jewish culture, a Jewish place, and he came into that, right? He stepped into that. And they're familiar with this storyline that they're looking for a Messiah. But it's interesting now that shepherds are the least of all the people in that culture and time. They were just kind of, they just weren't viewed very highly. And nobody really listened to things that they would say. It was kind of a menial tasking and they just, nobody cared much about it. But the information comes to them, and this was to all people. This good news, this helpful blessing of a Savior comes to them, and it comes to them personally, but it's also to all people. And I think that next thing that we see, not only is this information joy to all people. I like that. I like that idea. This is the first thing that they experience. But the second thing that they experience in verse 11 says, "For there is born," and I would circle this, "to all people" is a good thing to circle. And then "there is born," and then it now says, "to you this day in the city of David, a Savior is Christ the Lord." So now more information starts trickling out. Now there's a Savior that's born. Someone who's going to take away the sin of the world, a Savior. This is what the world is craving today. You and I, we listen to the news reports. We watch what's happening all over the world. We think, whatever. You know, I mean, this is just a mess. You know, you read about things, you look at things, it's just a mess. You know, but Jesus, it's a declaration, though, of the need of a Savior. The world needs a Savior. You and I needed a Savior, and we met the Savior. It's personal. I like this. Not only is it to all people, the information is to spread to all people, but it's to you personally. He says, "To you is born this day." And that is part of what we want to take into ourselves. In not only is it to everyone, international, global, to all peoples, everybody needs a Savior. Yes, and there's a great joy and good news. He is born and it is personal. You can take that into your heart personally. That's part of the whole idea of being born again. Jesus was born that you and I can be born again. He came in and there was no room anywhere, remember, for him in the storyline. No room for him in any kind of a public space for him or a private space in a safe community. No, you're out in some cave, really. It talks about a manger scene, and I know that's what we get in our heads, but it actually was more of a cave area, which was, they're predominant, they're all over that around Bethlehem. There's hill, it's hilly, it's rocky, and there's little caves all over the place. And they would shelter animals and stuff. And this was a common place to think, but no other room. And this is important for us. You and I want to make room for him. We want to make room for him, not only within our families, within our homes, within our hearts. It is personal. This Savior is born. The first thing was it's to all people, this information, this good news of great joy. It's to all people. It's also a personal message. And I love this next part in verse 12. Let's read verse 12. And it says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And again, this thought is that he was in a cave, in this little alcove-like thing, a cave area, with regular farm animals. You know? This wasn't the Ritz-Carlton. This wasn't Holiday Inn. It wasn't Holiday Inn Express. It wasn't, you get what I'm saying? It wasn't Travel Lodge. It wasn't Motel 6. It just keeps going downhill from there, right? It goes all the way down. There's no friends' homes that are open. There's nobody, there's just no space. None anywhere. No room. It was the Feast of, technically, it was more during the time of Feast of Tabernacles. Not going to burst the bubble, but it was a different season, possibly, than the time of year that we actually celebrate. That's okay. We won't ruin everything. We just choose to celebrate now. That's a long storyline. We won't get into it. But anyway, I don't want to bum anybody out. We want to have a good day with it and celebrate, and I don't want your kids to be asking too many questions. But the idea here, what's interesting to me, is that he comes to this humble, not only is he to all people, this joy, this great information, this good news is to all people. Yes, that's for sure. But not only is it to all people, it's also personal. It's a personal invitation for us to know him. We need a savior. It's personal. But then also we have a humble king that's come, a humble savior. He came and was born in an obscure, really just menial situation at best. So he is approachable to all. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter what your strata in society. Nothing matters. You can come to this humble Savior. In other words, you and I, all peoples of the earth, can identify with him. That's so important for us today too. You see, our world needs that information. And you know what? You've got the information. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got the information that the world needs. You carry that within you. And to this weekend, during this season, and then throughout the new year, let's bring that information to the rest of the world around us. They need to know this because it will provide hope and encouragement to them. And this last thought that I have, so not only is it a message of great joy that's provided, and it's to all people. It's good news that Jesus has come. It's not only to all people, but the second thought is he's a personal savior for sure. We need him personally, and he's a humble, approachable savior. He didn't come for just a certain class of people. He came to break all the barriers, and that everybody comes. We interact with God on the basis of what he has done for us. Not what you can do for him. He loves and accepts you simply for who you are. Man, I'm thankful for that. Every day when I wake up, I'm thankful for that because I know who I am. And I know how desperately I need him each and every day. And whether you know that or not, I know you need him desperately just like me. We all do. It's part of the human condition. But I thought this was interesting. As we look at verses 13 and 14, and this is the last thought in this, he says, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" This wonderful response, this heaven explodes. Heaven explodes. Just in concert, like I think probably singing and rejoicing that you and I can't even comprehend. Can you imagine? One, I would have been completely, every time I read this, I always think I would have been freaked out just interacting with any angelic beings, right? That would be freaky enough. That would be overwhelming. It would be pretty like, man, and I mean, think about it. They've been out night after night after night after night after night their whole lives caring for sheep. Right? And they're hanging out caring for sheep. And then all of a sudden there's this, the heavens open up and there's these angelic beings that are talking to them directly. This is you talk about a crazy encounter with God. That's awesome. And then the information that they're still, oh, by the way, the Son of God's coming and you're the first to hear about it. That's, and a matter of fact, would you go and tell some other people about that? Go check it out. What's interesting to me is, you know what? They didn't even tell him, go tell anybody. It was an axiomatic, expected thing that they would do that. It was just automatic. Heard that kind of information? Yeah, keep that to yourself, right? But look it. We want to embrace that idea too. We've got that same information. We've had that same revelation, many of us who have had that same experience. But I like this as we read this. The response is, with from this information, radical praise to God. So, we want to be in concert with the rest of the eternal realm, right? The eternal realm is exploding with praise and worship of God for what he has done. And that's really the response. I know we respond by giving each other gifts and all these different things, but the real idea is what God has done for us. The greatest gift that could ever be given is that he gave himself for you and for me. He died for a purpose. He came to die. His purpose in coming was to die for yours and my sins. I mean, that was the whole point of it. So we celebrate his first coming, which is beautiful and wonderful, but he came with a purpose, didn't he? He came with a purpose to reach out and to save us. So I think as we see this praise of God, all heaven explodes with praise. I think the idea in verse 20 kind of tells us, we see Mary who kind of ponders this in her heart. Can you imagine, just as a couple of closing thoughts, these are random but true, a couple of closing thoughts as we think about this. Can you imagine being Mary, knowing the storyline that happened to her? She's pregnant. She's not married yet. She's gotten married now to Joseph. Joseph is betrothed to her. You know, we talked about this last time. He's supposed to marry her, finds out she's pregnant. He knows he hasn't had any relations with her, anything. So what's going on? You know? Now she knows. Now Joseph, an angel told her what was going to happen. It did happen. Now Joseph then is informed by an angelic being as well. Hey, this is what's going on. Now they know. Now they're watching. Think about this. The baby comes and they know there's something supernatural and special about this. They know that. Can you imagine? Celebrate with them the excitement and the joy of the confirmation. This is the real deal. These shepherds heard about that, and some angels told them too. We don't even know those guys. You know what I mean? And they've come to see what has happened to us. People want to see when you reveal who Jesus is in your life, by your life, by how you live your life. When people want to see who that is. And you want to make sure you don't tell them about all your willpower and how great you are. Please don't. Please don't. That'll ruin the whole party. The whole Christmas party's ruined, right? The whole storyline is really how great he is and what he's done and that he moved in and made your heart his home. That's really what Christmas is all about, making room for him and celebrating with all of eternity. Can you imagine the confirmation that was for that young couple? That the shepherds, and then as time would go by, in a couple of years, some wise men would come. Hey, we've been watching this star for the last few years, and we've come to worship the king. And they come and bring these gifts. Can you imagine what that was like for them? Kids, I am so proud of you. Adults, I'm proud of you too. But kids, I'm so proud of you for making it. You know, you're doing so great. I just want you to be commended for this. As they celebrated, what I like this in this last, in verse 20, then the shepherds returned, this was their ultimate response. After they had shared all this information, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. That's the response that we want to have. We want to continue to respond in like style, giving glory to God. You know, for all that he has done, they say for them, they're praising God for everything they had heard and seen as it was told them.